God's word for you, Mark 6, the second part of verse 6 to verse 12. Then Jesus went out to the villages, preaching in a circle. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. And these were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. What is true repentance? To repent is to change your heart, to turn around, turn away from sin, and back to the arms of your loving God. Repentance begins with a kind of grief. We often say contrition. That means terror or sorrow over sin. Sometimes that looks a little different from our point of view. Sometimes it's grief because we've hurt our loving Jesus. We're sorry because we love him and we know what he's done for us. We realize that the sins we commit are like a child kicking at his mother or yelling at his father just because he's frustrated or tired or confused or not getting his way. So for some of us, for some Christians, repentance begins with grief and being sorry about what we've done because we love God. But it isn't always that way. Sometimes this sorrow is terror, fear of being separated from God. This can be like the fear of a child who's become separated from his parents, the fear of a child who is lost and has no idea how to get home again. This is the sorrow of fear or terror. This sorrow feels the nature of hell and desperately wants to get out of it. Maybe throughout your life you've mostly felt one way about your sins or the other, but whether it's been grief or terror, it's the same contrition, the same beginning to repentance. In our text, Jesus sent out his disciples two by two for the first time without him. The purpose of their journey was to preach repentance, but was it only to preach repentance that people should either be sad or scared because of their sins? No, it was more than that. Jesus also gave them the authority to do miraculous things as a testimony to the truth of what they were preaching, to draw people in and listen to their message. And what was the message? Just as the miracles meant healing from the burden of sickness, healing from paralysis, healing from demon possession, so also their message was the gospel message of healing from the burden of sin, the paralysis of guilt, and of all the afflictions of the devil in our lives. The Greek word for this act of sending them out is apostello. We get our word apostle from this word. It means to send somebody out with the authority to accomplish some errand. When I was a boy, my mom used to send me two blocks away to the store with a couple dollars to buy a gallon of milk. That was a specific errand and the specific means to carry out the errand. That's what the disciples had from Jesus. They were still his followers, disciples, but now they were also sent out with his authority as apostles on that specific errand. Jesus sent his apostles out two by two. In pairs. The very expression Moses uses to describe the coming of the animals into Noah's Ark. But Jesus didn't pair up the disciples to bring them in and save them. No, he paired up the disciples and sent them out two by two to save us. The storm of judgment was coming, still is, and it's time to rescue mankind through the preaching of the gospel. But more than this, let's go back and notice Jesus' own pattern for preaching. In Mark's Greek text, and the way I've translated it, Jesus went out to the villages preaching in a circle. That is, he preached in Capernaum, then probably Bethsaida, Cana, Nazareth, Nain, and back to Capernaum again. And this was Jesus' regular custom, as at least in the early part of his ministry, going out to the villages and preaching from village to village to village in a circle. Later, the Apostle Paul picked up on Jesus' pattern, and once Paul had preached in a village or a city, he'd come back again later and preach there. Paul even began to send letters to these cities and their congregations. And why? Well, to bring those people the gospel along with the message of repentance. The very act of going again and again and again to the same people with the same message of repentance is a gospel act, taking the forgiveness God offers us and offering it, handing it out to there to be grasped and embraced by the people all again and again. This is because faith is the other part of repentance. Repentance isn't possible if there is only fear or grief over sin. Fear and grief stop us from sinning momentarily, but they're the tools of the law, and the law only condemns us. It only makes us afraid, only makes us sorry about our sins. But faith is what grasps God's promises and the gospel of forgiveness, and that's what pulls us back to God. Faith is like an extra organ in your body, an organ that receives God's promises and God's grace. However you want to think of it, and people have thought of faith as this organ that receives things from God in different ways. It's like a weak, miserable hand with no strength, but which can at least receive what God places in it. Or faith might be like the mouth of a baby bird, a mouth that can receive food from its parents, but can't actually catch the food, you know, by itself. Or faith might be like a third ear somewhere on your head. The ear that God speaks to, the ear that's created by baptism that grows as faith grows, or just a channel that sticks into your head that God pours blessings through. That's why Jesus kept going around village to village in a circle to offer forgiveness and strengthen faith so that people would grasp it, grow in it, be rescued. He sent out his disciples and turned them into apostles, so they would do the same thing, preaching village to village. The miracles the apostles did were done to show the truth of their message and to be wonders that would wow the crowds to pay attention to their preaching. Jesus wanted his disciples to trust that God would provide everything they needed. The order not to take extra food, extra money, even a cloak to use as a bedroll, that wasn't to discourage us from doing planning or from packing a lunch. It was to show the apostles that the results of their preaching didn't depend on how good or clever their preaching was, or on what style of music they sang while they walked along the roads, or anything else except the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Word of God itself, and He would take care of them. This is the powerful message that causes our grief over sin. This is the powerful message that plants and strengthens our faith, the faith that finishes our repentance and turns back to God. Now, repentance also has fruits, ways of showing that we no longer sin. These fruits will always be a little different from one person to another. Think of three thieves. They all repent of what they've stolen, and they ask God's forgiveness. They each show their repentance. One thief, with a strong faith, gives back everything he stole and pays back extra for the damage he's done. Another thief, also in faith, can't pay back everything right away, but works hard to be sure that she does pay back everything she took, although she doesn't pay any extra, and her conscience does not bother her about that. The third thief has spent some of the money he stole before he repents, and he simply gives back what he has left. Is his the best example of repentance? No, it's not. But if it's done out of faith, it's still repentance, and that's what God wants. Our God offers us forgiveness through Jesus' blood on the cross. By the grace of God, we receive that very forgiveness every time we hear the gospel, every time we read the gospel, every time we hear the absolution spoken to us in public or in private, every time we take the Lord's Supper. Praise God for continually circling back to you again and again to give you and me the thing we need the most. Repentance without faith is just fear. But with faith in Christ and His forgiveness, it is true repentance. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.